Hey everyone, today's episode is on the great Saint Michael the Archangel. Michael is revered by so many cultures, so many spiritual backgrounds, so many practices. Of course, I tried to keep it to a Catholic, folk Catholic, angelology perspective of Michael, but we get into a lot of folk Italian customs, we get into a lot of folk candle customs. It's a lot of fun. But there is so much more that we could discuss about Saint Michael. I just wrapped up 9 days of St. Michael on Patreon, where we discuss prayers, we discuss and have video of some of the workings we talk about in this episode. Of course, all show notes are going to be on the Patreon as well, so I do recommend you check out the Patreon for more hands-on and detailed instructions about a lot of the stuff I talk about in this episode. Nonetheless, St. Michael is so incredible. There's so many powerful stories just about him, the revolt, stories in the Bible about him defeating evil, and of course, just an incredible, incredible presence and spirit to have in your life. So, thank you in advance for listening, and I really, really hope you enjoy. Thank you. The members of God's divine council were feuding. Angelic languages filled the court, shouting, voices layering on top of one another, slowly reaching a fever pitch, crescendoing, that it could even be heard in the deepest recesses of heaven. On one side of the table were the angels, beings of pure energy and bright light, and on the other were the fallen. The fallen had already chosen to turn away from God, and in doing so, even their forms were starting to change. Their beautiful radiance had turned into a jaundiced, wretched stain. Their previously harmonic voices now took on the sound of guttural growls, as if rocks and tar were stuck to the back of their devilish throats. The room no longer smelled of the otherworldly, unfathomable fragrances of heaven. Instead, these beings stunk in a putrid, defiling aroma that made even the bodiless angels gag. Though the leader of the rebellious angels, while also deforming, still glowed brightly, but underneath the glow was a jealous, small, pathetic being. "Why is God to become man?" the angel named Lucifer said. "Humans are weak. Humans are beneath us, for we have charge over them, so why is God going to become that? And why do humans get to meet God in human form, when God is so powerful that not even us angels can see him? Why can they interact with God, when none of us can even as much look at God without disintegrating? Is that fair, my angelic brethren? No. And if we are not God's favorite, and we will revolt. We will make it our duty to ensure these humans never meet their creator," Lucifer said. "We will lead them so far from God that they will become strangers to even their own father. We will cast doubt. We will give them knowledge they are not ready for. We will create division within them. We will sow hatred. We will instill fear. We will place doubt in their hearts." He then laughed. "They will see God as the enemy, and they will see us as their saviors. Let's face it, my fellow angels, we do all of God's work anyway. We are here to ensure the sun rises and that the moon falls and the tides go in and out. We are here to bring forth the rain, to grow the crops. We organize the cosmos. We look after these humans. We do all of this while the absent father voyeuristically watches. The fathers want us to be gods, then we will become the gods of the humans. We will accept their worship and draw them as far away as we can. We will blot them out of existence. We will cut off any source they have to the divine. We can do this because we've been doing all of God's work, so we may as well, because let's face it, we are just as good as God. We are just like God. We will be the God of the people." Lucifer's speech caused a screechy, raspy uproar and applause from his fallen army. But it was then cast out with a booming voice as another bright angel stepped forward, walking away from a tree with a flaming sword. The angel, Archangel Michael, then said, "Where were you, Lucifer, when God laid down the foundations of the earth, when God marked off its dimensions? Were you not there when God cast the first morning and all of us angels shouted for joy? Were you not there when God shut off the sea behind doors when it burst through her womb, when God made the clouds the garment of the earth? Where were you, Lucifer? And what power did you have in all of this creation? Lucifer, did you give orders to the morning? Did you show the dawn its place? Because the mere dawn alone takes over the edges of the earth and shakes out the wicked. And that wicked is what you are becoming. So where were you? Where were you when the earth was shaped like clay, Lucifer? And what right do you have for this siege? Because the wicked are destroyed by the coming of the dawn, and their upright arms are broken. No one matches the wisdom of the Father, because his wisdom is a perfect wisdom. His love is a perfect love, and his wrath is a perfect wrath. You say you can become like a god to the people. Well, there is no match to the Father. There is no one like him. You are like God? Say it again if you're brave enough. Because who is like God? Who is like God? Who is like God? No one, no one, no one, no one is like God." And with a screech, the demon's transitions were finally complete. Broken, bruised, with leathery wings and bloody scales, they fell from the heaven like a lightning bolt. And then Saint Michael picks up his flaming sword, and he too descends into battle. Who is like God? Who is like God? Who is like God? Peace be with you and with your spirit. Welcome to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. And I am your host, W. The demons of Satan's hell prowl like hungry lions waiting to strike. But that's ascribing them a bit too regally, because demons are such vile creatures. I would say that demons do not prowl like lions. I'd say they prowl like wicked scavengers, like vultures, waiting to prey upon the weak, or those of us who are already in some form of spiritual decay. They're like a plague that will strike a weakened immune system, ready to infect, to fester. Demons are disorganized. While they are pure intellect, they are also opportunist. But they hold no allegiance, not even to one another. So while they may band together, the bonds of the demonic are mere clay to the fetters of iron that bind God's love. For if demons are scattered, opportunistic buzzards, then angels are highly skilled soldiers, proactively seeking and destroying the enemy, trained, structured, ordered. And while demons are bands of disorganized thieves with no set leader, the militant choir of angels have leaders. And at the forefront of this celestial army, there holds a being with a bright flaming sword, an angel who is like God, Saint Michael. Saint Michael, or Michael the Archangel, is revered in so many cultures that recording this episode is going to prove a bit difficult. He is revered in all Abrahamic religions. He's revered in various occult and more New Age spaces, and he is revered in various aspects. And to best understand Michael, you do have to understand the fall of the angels, which we opened up with in this episode. And we've discussed the several falls of the angels in the demonic series, and I do recommend that. To me, that is a very biblical and scriptural accurate way of looking at the fall. How we see the fall, we see that one scene. But there's so much nuance and detail, and I lay it all out in the demonic series. And another issue I have with the main fall, the one from the book of Revelation that I discussed at the beginning of this episode, is most of the imagery and details we have on that fall comes from fiction. It comes from John Milton's Paradise Lost. Milton was a Puritan Protestant Christian. He does borrow it from the book of Revelation. However, some of the small details that we still today ascribe to Lucifer comes from Milton. Nonetheless, the angels and the fallen angels, it does take place in the book of Revelation. You see it mentioned in the Old Testament as well. You also see the fall of the angels, the revolt of the angels, mentioned in the book of Enoch in various forms. And Enoch is no longer in the canonical Bible. The way the archangels and the battles are spoken of in the Bible, it also hints that the reader is already familiar with them. It speaks as if the reader already knows these characters. There's not like an introduction. So there might be, have been other, it's widely believed that there have been other various forms of the revolt in Jewish literature. So the book of Revelation, Paradise Lost, it really hones in on this one fall. Check out my demon series if you want to get into the various falls, because there's so much nuance. However, the gist of the story is Lucifer, who is this powerful, shining seraph angel. He convinced 30%, I believe, and I think that actually comes from Paradise Lost, of the angels to revolt against God. And why would that be? Angels, especially lower classes, they cannot know God intimately, and some don't even have access to him. As I discussed in the angel episode last week, some of them can't even discuss or speak to God directly. They have to go through other orders and choirs. So some of the angels, when they found out two things, really, one, that God would become human and that humans can interact with God through Christ, they became jealous. Secondly, the goal was for all of us to become like the angels. Humans were going to become like the angels. So the devil, and if you check out the demonic series, I'm saying Lucifer, I'm saying the devil. In the demonic series, we talk about the various Satans. But anyway, we're sticking to this one for now. And I do like this story. It's important. But Lucifer and the devil, they did not like that humans were going to become on their level when they died. We would also become members of God's divine council. So they wished to fall. And also, it's said that Lucifer wanted to become like God. And that's why you have the rallying cry of who is like God from Michael. So Lucifer wanted to become a god, and in doing so, he wanted to bring humanity further away from the Father. Demons, they cannot attack God. God does not have a body, but they can attack those made in God's image. This might point out an important theological question you might have. So the demons knew that Christ was coming to earth before, quote unquote, Eve ate the fruit, right? But however, you've probably been taught that, well, Christ was going to come to earth to free us from original sin. Well, God was going to make himself human all along. That was always the plan. Yes, the result would have been different. Christ would not have been needing to, you know, die and go to hell. But death was not part of God's plan either. However, if we were going to live in a broken world forever, then we too would become like demons. So God sent Lucifer to reign over Sheol, hell, and the whole Bible is God getting the world ready to send Christ to free the souls out of hell. And since Christ died, went to hell, destroyed it, that means Lucifer no longer can feed off of death, because now God has rule over death. So now Lucifer is hungry and prowling even more, because he's no longer just over hell. He's hungry and bored, so now he is still trying to get souls. And that's a whole other topic. But let's go back to the revolt. So let's reimagine the members of God's Divine Council, the angel and the soon fallen angels, and they're rallying their troops. Lucifer wasn't the only shining seraph. Another one loomed large, and that would be the eventual God's top general. And that was Saint Michael, who said, "Oh, you want to be God." And he knew that was a statement of delusion, greed, and ego from Lucifer. So God is perfect. God is complete. There is no match. Who is equal to wisdom and power of God? Who is like God? Who is like God? Or in Latin, qui ut Deus, qui ut Deus, qui ut Deus. And that became the rallying cry of the angels. In the name Michael, it can be translated in Hebrew. Mikael can be translated to who is like God. And sometimes that is posed as a question based on the rallying cry. However, as we've discussed a little bit in past episodes, when God would send someone down in the Old Testament, whether it was the angel that wrestled Jacob, whether it was Gabriel, whether it was Raphael, whether it was Mikael, it said you had God's word in you. And having the word of God in you meant you have godly powers. So who is like God without the question mark? Michael, who is like God? That would also be accurate. So it could be, who is like God? Question mark, the rallying cry, or Mikael, who has similar powers of the divine. Nonetheless, Michael and his army, they vowed to defeat the demons and work to keep God's people far away from the prowlers. And he's still fighting demons to this day. And he will be the one who, on Judgment Day, comes and sends Satan back into the abyss forever. So, as we've said, Michael is an archangel. We just did an episode on angels, but as a refresher, archangels are an angel. It's a role, not a species. And they are over groups of people or some large form of human enterprise, countries, militaries, churches, you could say governments, and so on. As I said, archangel is a title, not a species. For instance, Mikael is a seraphim angel, but he's also an archangel. He's also a guardian angel of Abraham and Jacob. So some of these aren't species, there's roles. The best depiction of archangels we have come from a book that's no longer in most Bibles, but it is in the Coptic Bible, and that's the Book of Enoch. And check out my episode on the Bible as well. Just because a book isn't included in the canonical Bible, it does not mean it's banned or forbidden. There's all these conspiracies that the Catholic Church removed books in the Council of Nicaea. That is just not true. I'm not sure how that keeps floating about. A lot of church teaching actually still references books that were no longer in the Bible. The Gospel of Thomas, the Book of Enoch, many early church fathers actually recommended you still read those at home, but not in the church. But anyway, the Book of Enoch is fascinating. We get into that in the Demon series as well. And the Book of Enoch, it describes archangels as defeating the fallen Nephilim. And God sends the flood to wipe out the rest. I reference this in the Gabriel episode too. And this is interesting because in the book of Daniel, Gabriel appears to Daniel and tells him that Archangel Michael is protecting the people and he's currently fighting the princes of Persia. And again, I'm plugging the Demon series a lot in this episode, I apologize. But in that episode, we talk about Nephilim being human-demon hybrids who were usually tyrants or rulers. So fighting the princes of Persia could have literally meant a human-demon ruler, or it could have just been a term for Persian demons that were accepting worship as false gods. Either way, archangels are seen to correspond with larger societal issues. And I often say that most of the time we want to jump right to Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael, but we all have guardian angels as well, and they are more so involved in you and your personal daily life. So they're a great first line of defense. But Mikael is also the patron of God's people. He's the patron of humanity. So he's all of our patron as well. So he's very active with petitions. He's very active in the world because your soul and your spiritual well-being, it's important to Michael. It's important to your guardian angel too, but it's also important to Michael. So he can assist in many, many things. Michael is also the subject of a lot of amazing art. you start to see him take on more of a masculine appearance during the Renaissance era. However, previously, he did have more of an androgynous depiction in artwork. I actually have a few prayer cards where it is a bit more androgynous, not necessarily masculine in appearance. Angels do not have gender. I am saying he, him, just out of habit. However, Mikael, Michael, does not have gender. He's often, or they are often, depicted in regalia that is similar to a Roman soldier, usually carrying a flaming sword or a spear. Most statues or artwork, they have him standing on the head of the devil, impaling it. You also have Mary in the Book of Revelation that also crushes the head of the serpent with her heel. So, as a result, both Mary and Mikael, Michael, are invoked a lot in any kind of deliverance, any kind of spiritual warfare. And sometimes he's also shown carrying scales. So Michael has various roles as humanity's archangel. One is protection, general protection, from physical things. Another is spiritual and protecting our souls. And then another is ensuring our entry into heaven, a guide into the afterlife. And you get this with a lot of the archangels. Gabriel has the same lore, or it's actually considered a great gift if Mikael or Gabriel bring you to heaven. But he's shown carrying scales because of his depiction as an assister of the afterlife with your soul. There's a lot of lore that he will give you a chance to repent before going to meet God, which I think is lovely. It's almost it almost plays into the universalist view that many people have these days. And I think there's a lot of scripture to back that up. I've talked about that in past episodes. But I think it's beautiful. You know, you also hear from a lot of saints that, I'm going on a bit of a tangent, but Padre Pio, Saint Jean Vianney, these big confessors, they'll have like wives that are recent widows who are afraid their husbands, you know, are damned to hell. But these great saints, pretty modern saints, will say like, no, they repented. They had a chance from the angels to repent and they did. And they're in heaven now. I just think that's a very loving form of angels being our guides, especially in a lot of circles where you hear Archangel Michael, especially Padre Pio and Jean Vianney as well. It's a lot of the very conservative, very spiritual warfare. It's a war for our souls going on. And I agree, that's real. But those people tend to be a little bit extreme. So for that same circle, that same lore to say that, well, yeah, Michael can cast out demons, and also he's going to give you a chance to cleanse your soul before you go to heaven, I think that's beautiful. The scales symbolize the weighing of souls before they go to heaven. There were also, if you recall, in the Book of Psalms, as well as some of Paul's epistles, they talk about the gods of the nations. And yes, we discussed this in the Demon series. There was a god placed over every nation, and Mikael was put in charge of Israel. So, like I said, a lot of the species of angels, you probably think of it as a species, it's a role. Mikael was a guardian, a god of a nation, which is kind of a throne or dominion role, but he was also an archangel, also a seraphim. But some of these gods fell, or these angels fell, because they accepted worship. That's one of the other falls, but Mikael did not. He remained the angel of Israel. And then when Christianity spread, he was not only the God of Israel, but the God of Israel's people, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac's people, or the angel. I'm using God and angel interchangeably because the translation is more so messenger than deity. And veneration started fairly early on with Michael. Well, today he's seen as kind of the protector against evil, protector against harm. He's always been seen as that, but he was especially seen in the early church as a protector against plague and illness, where nowadays Raphael seems to have taken on that mantle a little bit. But for instance, he was specifically petitioned for illness and plague in the early church and the medieval era. During the Black Plague, many would do pilgrimages to one of his apparition sites. and they would stay there for weeks, and it was believed that no one could receive the plague if they were in Michael's dwelling. And this harkens back to Psalm 91, actually. God has placed an angel over me. I do not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. No harm will overtake me, and no plague will enter my dwelling. So there's a bit of a tie in there with Psalms as well. And this cult of saints, the cult of Saint Michael, it spawns many folk beliefs as well, especially in Europe. In Italy, Michael is beloved by traditional Catholics, by folk healers, by stregas, by folks who would now use the word folk Catholic. They would just call themselves Catholics. But you have a lot of instances there. You have the Evil Eye Prayer, which invokes Saint Michael. Various folk healing remedies around Michael, a lot of it including calling upon his sword to burst the evil eye, to cut out illness, to cut out jealousy, things like that. And we'll talk about some of that here in a bit. And due to his flaming sword, he is strongly associated with fire, especially those who use candles or fire in their spirituality of some kind. There have also been a lot of apparitions surrounding Saint Michael, to the point where that might have to be a bonus episode. There have been some in the past, 15 years. There were some really notable ones in Mexico and Japan in the late 90s. Usually, at least the one in Mexico, I recall, he appeared over a mountainside and then later in a monastery, and then those both became kind of unofficial pilgrimage sites, and healings occurred, spontaneous exorcisms, and more. One of the most badass Michael apparitions, though, took place in the island of Lesbos in the 10th century. There was a very famous and notable monastery there that, being on an island, was also fairly secluded. Pirates knew that this monastery was secluded, so they decided to ransack the monastery, and they just started killing all of the monks. And they were going to overtake the monastery, and this was going to be, their home base for piracy. So they pull up, they start killing all the monks, and then all of a sudden, one of them prays for Michael. He appears with his flaming sword and just demolishes and destroys all of the pirates. The monastery is still there today. It's said that you can still see the blood stains from the dead pirates that Saint Michael killed. I believe also the icon there, the statue, is said to have some kind of supernatural origin. Some say it appeared, on its own after Michael left. So Michael left a statue. Others say that it was molded while Michael was there and Michael almost stood as a model for it. Nonetheless, it's a really cool depiction of Michael, and it's a very, very old relic. And it's one of the few statues that are 3D, at least for icons. Usually icons are placed against a wall flat, but this is actually a 3D statue, which was very odd for the 10th century. Statues were kind of a later development. 10th century was more icons on wood or stone that laid flat. Another very interesting, and we're going to get into workings and such with Mikael in a moment. However, some simple prayers and verbal charms are really powerful with Michael, and I'm still very fascinated with the Saint Michael prayer itself. Not many prayers come from divine intercession, but Saint Michael's prayer does. And this is fairly modern. It happened in 1888. With Pope Leo XIII. I think Pope Leo should become a saint. He's really awesome. Started modernizing things a little bit, but in a good way. He also was in advertisements for a cocaine-infused beverage, because cocaine was medicinal back then, which I just think is funny that a pope was in advertising. He was also one of the first humans to be recorded on videotape. Anyway. Pope Leo XIII, 1888, he was serving mass, and then he just fell out. He just collapsed. And many people thought, well, the Pope's dead. However, he was just in a state of ecstasy. He had a vision of Satan and Christ arguing, and Satan waging that he could have all the souls of the faithful within 100 years. And then Pope Leo sprung up, he ran to his quarters, and he wrote the St. Michael Prayer. And then he instructed that everyone pray it after every Mass. That slowly fell out of favor, probably before Vatican II, but especially after Vatican II. But strangely enough, in 2019, Pope Francis instructed that everyone begin praying the St. Michael Prayer again after Mass. And this is odd. If you're familiar with the Pope, he's actually been criticized for being too modern in his liturgical leanings. He is more worried about social justice issues. He's an advocate of Black Lives Matter. He's worried about feeding the hungry. He's a progressive Pope, at least as progressive as a Pope can get. He doesn't get too much into the demonic, into the supernatural, into the devil at all. So when he recommended all of a sudden that the church starts praying many exorcism prayers as a group again, people were kind of surprised. And then 2020 hit with COVID, and then wars began to break out in the Ukraine and elsewhere, general civil unrest. Did Pope Francis know that this was coming? This prayer is just an enigma to me, and it's also been changed a few times. And I kind of want to do a deep dive, and I'm going to do this on Patreon, about why and how. It could just be because it was too long, but it's interesting that it has been changed so much, and only the shorter version now is approved for the laity to say. And there's certain reasons why the laity can say certain things. As if you've listened to some of my other stuff before, the laity cannot command a demon, but they can command God or Archangel Michael to command a demon. So I want to do a deep dive eventually into why it was changed. But I'm going to read the longer version and the shorter version, and then we're going to get into some of the more folksy workings with Mikael. But here is the 1888 version of the St. Michael Prayer that was prayed after every Mass, after Pope Leo had a vision of Jesus and Satan debating. Most glorious Prince of the Heavenly Host, Archangel St. Michael, defend us in the battle and the tremendous struggle we carry on against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of darkness and of all evil spirits. Come to the help of man whom God created immortal, fashioned to his own image and likeness, and rescued at a great price from the tyranny of the devil. With the great army of the holy angels, fight today the battle of the Lord as thou didst of old fight against Lucifer, the leader of the proud, and his apostate angels who were powerless against thee, and they had no place in heaven. And that monster is the old serpent who is called the devil and Satan, that seduces the whole world, was cast into hell with his fallen. But now that first enemy and homicides have regained his insolent boldness, taking on the appearance of an angel of light, he has invaded the earth once more. And with his whole train of evil spirits, he is prowling again amongst men, striving to blot out the name of God and of his Christ, to capture, destroy, drag to eternal perdition the souls destined to the crown of eternal glory. The malignant dragon is pouring abroad like a foul stream into the souls of men of ruined intellect and corrupt heart. The poison of his wickedness, the spirit of lying, of impiety and blasphemy, the pestilent breath of impurity and of all vice and inequity. Most cunning enemies have filled with bitterness and drenched with gall the church, the spouse of the Lamb, without spot, and have lifted impious hands against all the most sacred within it. Even in the holy place where the see of blessed Peter and the chair of truth was set up to enlighten the world, they have raised the abominable throne of the impiety with the inquisitive hope that the shepherd may be stricken and the flock scattered abroad. So arise, unconquerable prince, defend the people of God against the assaults of the reprobate spirits and give them victory. There's actually more, but I'm going to cap it there. The end's kind of just a hear our prayer thing. So I think maybe it was just not said. That version was taken out because that's long. Because the modern version that you might know. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl throughout the world, seeking the ruins of souls. Amen. So this is used a lot. It is used in deliverance work and deliverance prayers. If you want to cleanse your home, pray it. If you want to pray it over a new St. Michael medal, pray it. We're going to talk about some fun stuff there in a second. There's just so many ways to incorporate this prayer into your spirituality. Let's talk about other ways to incorporate St. Michael into your spirituality. So first, let's talk about patronages. He is the patron of all of humanity, so all of us. However, he does have an official patronage for the military, for firefighters, for police officers, for fencers, for knife makers. He's also said to protect stregas and those who use fire and divination or their overall spirituality. He's also very much revered by exorcists or anyone that does any kind of spiritual cleansing or deliverance work. His feast day is on September 29th, and I am looking to post this on his feast day or maybe the day before. And this feast day used to be called Michaelmas or Michael's Mass, like Christmas, Christ Mass. And this was a very popular medieval feast. It was on par with Easter, on par with Christmas. And like many feasts, it did line up to the calendar. And this lined up to the end of harvest season. So often people would come and pray for good financial blessings because they would be selling their crops. Or sometimes the priest would bless the crops before they were sold on this day. And today, it has been combined with all archangels. Each archangel used to have their own feast day. Now it's all three of them are on September 29th. But I do know some churches that still have Michaelmas on that specific day. As far as invoking him, what would you invoke him for? General physical and spiritual protection. Probably nothing too worldly. Probably has no interest in, you know, finance or human relationships to an extent, unless it's a protection situation for both of those. Banishing and cleansing, healing. I know a lot of energy healers who do call upon St. Michael for their healing work. Breaking hexes and curses, sending curses back to the sender, and binding those who unjustly attack you. And if you're looking for some folk herbs to use in your practice or just something to place on the altar, garlic is very much associated with Michael. Some say even the manifestation of garlic growing somewhere is literally a manifestation of Michael in his essence. So you see a lot of garlic and that is also where a lot of the lore comes from, garlic and vampires. A lot of Italian folk practitioners, if you want to say that, they put garlic for protection as well, and it's because of the Michael tie-in there. And there's a lot of mystique around that correlation that I'm probably going to do some bonus content for. Red candles, any kind of candles and fire, do honor and bring forth St. Michael. It is popular in Greece and some other places to have a broom on your St. Michael altar so he can wipe away and sweep away evil. And in a similar vein, this is very folksy, but putting any kind of weapon on your altar for any kind of protective saint is very popular. I know people who give Guadalupe or Mary a hammer, or even a knife or a sword. So even bullets, I've seen people leave bullets on a St. Jude altar, and it is to essentially have them to destroy evil on your behalf. As far as herbs, angelica root is often used in any kind of anointing oil used for St. Michael, even traditionally. Cinnamon has a very close tie with Michael. So does ginger. Both of those have a very fiery and heating element, and he is associated with fire. Coffee is also very much associated with Michael. I also know a lot of people on the more folksy leaning side that will take shots of various spirits and liquor with Michael. So go for it and try that. And he is said to be a spirit of justice. So if you promise you're going to do something, do it. Or his assistance will likely diminish. He's not if you ascribe to the hot, cold saint philosophy, he's not really a hot saint. He's not going to punish you if you don't pay up your bargain, but he may not come to your assistance again. And for me, coming through with a bargain is always simple. It's usually a donation to charity, so I make sure I have that money ahead of time. Or it's a promise to do something. It's praying a chaplet to St. Michael. It's praying a rosary. It's going to daily mass that week. So All right, let's get into the folksy practices that everyone loves to talk about. The first is an Italian verbal charm. And you see this used in a lot of evil eye removals, if you're familiar with Italian folk magic, Italian folk healing, Italian folk Catholicism. There are probably 6 or 7 evil eye Malocchio cures, and usually they are given to you on Christmas Eve by your grandmother. There's a few, and everyone that I have seen or been taught, there is always this in front of it. And the charm is the fire of St. Michael or the sword of St. Michael, either of those. We'll say sword today. The sword of St. Michael above me, the sword of St. Michael below me, the sword of St. Michael to the right of me, the sword of St. Michael to the left of me, the sword of St. Michael within me, the sword of St. Michael all around me. Michael, with your flaming sword, please protect me. And I've seen that used, prayed over oil, prayed over a rosary, prayed over a St. Michael chaplet, prayed over an amulet, very common. And also, like I said, prayed before any kind of cleansing, like cleansing the evil eye. There's another that I recently shared on my Patreon. We just did a 9 days of St. Michael episode, and I shared a lot more than what I'm going to talk about here. There is 9 of them, obviously. But one is kind of called the Garden of Eden ritual, I guess you could call it. That is when you take a St. Michael prayer card, and then you take any kind of protective herbs, or herbs that tie in with St. Michael, like we just talked about. So coffee, ginger, cinnamon, red pepper, black pepper. I always like to use herbs that are biblical, so I use hyssop. Traditionally, this is also done just with grains of paradise. I cannot get my hands on grain of paradise very easily, but I have a lot of coffee. So I use coffee, blessed salt, and hyssop. And you're just going to tape a little tiny baggie of these herbs to the back of a St. Michael prayer card. And then you put that prayer card and the herbs over your doorways of your home. You can put it over your front door and your back door. I know a lot of people, this is kind of on the Italian side of things. I know a lot of people use it over the doors of their children. And when you place it on your doorway, you say the charm I just mentioned. May the sword of St. Michael above me, below me, to the right of me, left of me. And then, of course, always say your own petition from your heart. May St. Michael and your flaming sword and your divine providence assist me in protecting my home, something like that. There's also fiery wall of protection oil, or St. Michael's oil. And while oils do seem kind of super folksy and magical these days, I have seen monasteries selling St. Michael anointing oil. And I talk about this in Patreon, and I share a couple recipes, but really it's kind of what is speaking to you and what do you need. So first you are going to use any kind of herb that has some kind of angelic tie-in or connection with St. Michael. So angelica root and sandalwood are two very commonly used herbs, but then also, like we said, ginger, cinnamon, usually whole peppercorn is used. Then from there, you're going to want a blessing herb. For me, blessed salt is all you need. You can bless your own salt by praying Psalm 23 over it. I also have a salt blessing post on Patreon, but quite honestly, it's public info. Check out the Exorcism of Salt online. You can find it. So I use blessed salt, and then that's really it. Then I'll add any kind of accoutrements. But traditionally, it's going to have angelica root, sandalwood, those are usually non-negotiables, cinnamon, ginger, and blessed salt. But bay, myrrh, frankincense, devil's shoestring, rue, hyssop, grains of paradise, that can all be used as well. But yeah, you're going to combine it with olive oil. You're going to mash all the herbs, and you're going to combine it with olive oil, and then you're going to pray the St. Michael prayer over the oil. If you're doing a novena or you have a Michael altar, place it on your altar and pray over it again. I like to do any kind of saint-related, I don't make my own oil a lot, but if I do, and I have before, I like to, or if I'm doing it, you know, if I'm blessing salt, if I'm making anointing oil, if I'm doing holy water, I like to do it when I'm doing a novena, because I just place it on the altar while I'm saying my prayers, and it becomes part of my prayers, and to me, there's a charging element that happens. But yeah, very simple oil. Like I said, usually the most common, angelica root, cinnamon, ginger, sandalwood, blessed salt. And there's a lot more we can get into with making your own oils. I'm not trying to plug. I've been plugging the Demon series this whole episode. I don't want to plug the Patreon too much, but I go into all of this on Patreon, so check that out. But very simple, those five herbs I said. If you want to add crystals, any other flowers like rose petals or thorns, feel free. But those five herbs, place it on your altar and pray. There you go. And that leaves me with a ritual we have discussed in past episodes, but it's very much tied in with St. Michael. So in case you've missed it, in the Folk Deliverance episode, we're going to talk about it here. It's called the Fiery Wall of Protection. The oil we just talked about is sometimes called Fiery Wall of Protection oil. And this is more so on the magical side of things. I'd be interested in to learn the origins of this. I really couldn't pinpoint anything specifically. But this does seem to have roots in kind of just traditional, folksy novenas. But it appears to be made more magical. Either way, I love this. It's the Fiery Wall of Protection. It's a very famous, well-known ritual or spell, and there's many variations. So if this differs from what you do, there's many versions out there. And I'm giving you the most simple one because it's already kind of complex describing a ritual in an audio outlet. But I do have a video of this, yes, on my Patreon. So Fiery Wall Protection, you're going to need 4 red candles, 1 white candle, 1 black candle, and then a St. Michael statue or prayer card. You are going to put your white candle in the middle and then red candles all around it. So there's a circle, red candles, white candle in the middle. On the outside of the circle, on one side, you're going to put your statue of St. Michael or your prayer card. On the other side of the circle is your black candle. Your white candle represents what you are trying to protect. The red ring of candles represents protection. St. Michael represents St. Michael. I've also seen this with herbs instead of candles. Like, you know, instead of 4 candles, you can use like 2 candles and do herbs. I've also seen 4, I've seen 8 candles with herbs in the middle. But I've seen like blessed salt in the circle, things like that. Again, use your knowledge of herbalism, of saint allies and more to make this personal. But the very, very, very simple version of this is you're gonna light all of the candles. And you can also anoint the candles with the St. Michael oil we discussed earlier. You're going to light all the candles, and essentially you are going to say, this white candle represents blank. It represents whatever I'm trying to protect. So if, let's say we're trying to protect our home from a hurricane. I'm going to say out loud, I might do a prayer beforehand, but I'm going to say out loud, this white candle represents my home, light it. These red candles represent a fiery wall of protection. I'm going to light those. This black candle represents a hurricane that is coming. Then I'm going to pray the St. Michael prayer. You can do the long one, you can do the short one. And then I'm going to ask St. Michael. St. Michael, protector of humanity, please create a fiery wall of protection to protect me from this upcoming hurricane. I also like to use Psalm 68 here. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate them flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And then I blow out the black candle. Then I take a moment to pray, sit, reflect, maybe speak from the heart more, maybe read some more Psalms like Psalm 91, since that has a Michael tie-in. But yeah, that's it. So the very simple version, and I think with more folksy practices, the more simple, the better. You light your white candle, say, this is what I want protection from. You light your red candles, and you say, This is the firewall protection. The black is the enemy. And then you pray. And that's that. So that is a very common St. Michael ritual. And I have seen it where, you know, they've gotten rid of Michael and it's, you know, some other deity or just a general angelic spirit. But you're going to see Michael in there the majority of the time. And for my pyromaniacs, we'll give you one more, as if, you know, a ring of candles wasn't enough. This is just kind of a fun way to charge an amulet or a medal of St. Michael. And by the way, I have seen this in a few places, but I have also seen this in J. Allen Cross's amazing book, American Brujeria. So you take three bowls. One bowl has holy water, one bowl has Florida water, and one bowl has blessed salt or just salt. And then you're going to put a candle in between the Florida water and the holy water. You're also going to take some incense, and you're going to take your metal and swing it in the incense as you pray the St. Michael prayer. Once you're done, you are going to dip the metal in the Florida water, which is alcohol-based. It's flammable. Be careful. Then you're going to swing it through the candle flame, so it is going to catch on fire. Be careful. Let it burn a bit, a second or two. If you want to say, like, St. Michael, pray for us. If you want to bust out another St. Michael prayer, if you're brave enough, feel free. And then drop it in the holy water. Then pick it up, put it in the blessed salt, and say a prayer. Prayer from the heart, St. Michael the Archangel. I will wear this medal and amulet to honor you. Please protect me from anything that strays me further from good health, from God's life, and from God's blessing. Amen. And this is just a really fun way to charge Michael medals. And I like this because there's the association with fire that Michael has. So it makes sense. And it's just fun to set stuff on fire. And there are probably plenty more we could get into, but me verbally explaining numerous rituals is going to get old. But I hope I at least started getting the gears turning about how to incorporate Michael into your practice. I guess as an overview, he is the being, the entity, the spirit that assists us in turning towards the divine and turning towards God and removing any spiritual blockages we have that may stop us from communing with God. He is essentially the person to assist us in reuniting with our Creator, which is beautiful. And whether you look at Michael in a simple way, you know, he is the patron of humanity, so we can ask him for anything, or if you want to really approach your spirituality and relationship with the saints in a very strategic way, pick your poison, but Michael is one who wants you to join the angels, not the demons. He wants you to do things that will bring you closer to God. I know many people who pray to him and they get the feeling of Michael's not going to help, or they get the message that Michael's not going to help because what they're asking for is not for the greater good of humanity. And I think it's funny when they ask that, because biblically and theologically that makes sense, because he is the patron of humanity. He's more involved and dealing with things that are larger level, that support the greater good of your soul and the greater good of larger groups of people. So, you know, I know a lot of people call upon saints for various things. Well, he is going to be more inclined to assist you in something that's going to bring you closer to God. Whereas a lot of the human saints, I feel like they can probably understand our human nature a little more than some of the angels. But Michael is incredibly beloved in so many cultures. He needs to be on your altar. He is just an incredible figure. He is your patron, whether you like it or not, because you're a human being. And just an amazing part of my spirituality. And I know I've had incredible experiences just sitting in novenas with Michael. And I've shared this story a few times. I guess I'll share it again. It was last year, so this was 2021, and Hurricane Ida was coming very, very, very quickly. If you are from the Louisiana area, it formed in like 2 days. No one saw it coming. So I did not have time to evacuate. So what I did was I took a bottle that used to be on my altar. And I wrote out Psalm 91, I wrote out Psalm 23, I wrote a letter to St. Michael. And then I scribed, "Protect this home" on the red candle, and I burned it in the wine bottle. And as I burned it, I had two St. Michael cards, a St. Benedict card and an Our Lady of Guadalupe card. And I just prayed the St. Michael prayer over and over again. I prayed to a bunch of patrons as well, but the St. Michael prayer was definitely part of it. And buried the bottle in my front yard, and we didn't even get a lot of rain. We got some wind damage. I had a tree down in my front yard, but my neighborhood was pretty much spared. And I felt confident and I felt safe after doing that ritual. So an incredible figure to work with. My grandparents, they do the Garden of Eden protector prayer card ritual that I talked about before. They don't use herbs, they do blessed palm leaves on the back. So that's also really common because, like I said, he has that tie-in with Psalm 91 of no plague entering the dwelling. So in the height of COVID, even though they're not really folksy Catholics, I guess someone taught them that. So they did the palm leaf with Michael on all of their doorways. So an incredible being to work with, and I recommend all of you get to know Michael, look into things that bring you closer to God, look into the demonic, not necessarily as an entity, but in a force that wants to win, whereas Michael and his angels want you closer, they want you further away. So I hope you have a beautiful Michaelmas if this feast day is coming up, and I hope that this episode has given you some ways to really incorporate the great archangel into your practice. As always, we will end with a brief prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear God, you have put an angel over each of us to guard us and protect us in all thine ways. And the leader of all of our guardian angels and the leader of your heavenly host is Saint Michael, the fiery seraphim with a flaming sword of fire. Whether we may see it or not, there is a battle, but it is not a hard battle, going on. And while we may be pulled away from you, if we are to quiet our minds and listen, we will see an even stronger pull towards you and your grace and your goodness and your love. Thank you for placing angels upon us and around us to protect us. And thank you for making your general, Saint Michael, so close to humanity. May he defend us in battle, keep us away from the snares of the fowler and the traps that stray us further from you. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us, but assist us in our healing. Assist us in being angels as well, just like you intercede on behalf of others. Allow us to take up those traits as well. Allow us to protect with your intercession. Allow us to heal with your intercession. Allow us to create miracles in God's name. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Thank you for listening to another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. As always, I have been your host, W. Thank you for listening. This has been a lot of fun to research and record. All show notes are on the Patreon. We did 9 days of St. Michael, so there's plenty other St. Michael content on the Patreon and the archives. Thank you for being a supporter. Thank you for being a listener. And remember, who is like God? God bless you. Thank you.